The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, I'm talking to Pastor Mike Thompson of Las Vegas, the church's Word of Life World Outreach. You can find it at wordoflifeworldoutreach.org, or you can go to mikethompsonministries.org. Pastor Thompson, you were talking about revival, and you said ultimately this is about revival, what God is doing. I think, you know, most people who are paying any attention, who have any history, unless they're kids, they realize that these are the strangest times any of us has ever experienced. I mean, just there's a level of madness that I would argue most people know it's madness. I mean, the transgender madness, the vaccine madness, we can't talk about this. If you talk about that or talk about that or talk about that, you're going to get canceled. It's just a level of madness that has been unleashed in America. And I think most people, if they don't have the Lord and if they don't have encouraging voices like yours, they are very, very dismayed right now.
Oh, totally. And I think that because of that hopelessness and because of the confusion that sets into people, that they think that what they've got to do is just really comply. This whole concept of unity, of peace, let's all pull together. How can you have true unity if it's outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God's purposes and plans are for America? He knows what's right. And so his purposes have to be fulfilled. And so in these troubling times, I would really encourage people to understand that it's not the time to just comply with anything that's shoved down your throat. It's a time to actually understand or to evaluate your principles, your walk with the Lord, and to see that he has a better future for America if we will do it his way.
What a concept. You know, when we talk about history and God's hand on history, I really think that, again, most of us haven't seen this level of spiritual warfare, warfare manifested in the natural. I mean, these are crazy times that, and we have to be honest and say, yes, this is not normal. 20 years ago, we weren't seeing anything like this. So it seems to me that there have to be battles going on in the heavens that, and that God has somehow appointed this.
There are many battles going on in the heavens. Everything that happens in the natural realm is a result of what occurs in the spiritual realm. So it occurs in the spirit first. And there's a lot of warfare going on. If I might, you know, in about 2004, the Lord first began talking to me what he labeled as the ruling political spirit of Jezebel. And he took me back to Scripture and revealed to me, you know, that in the Old Testament, Jezebel married Ahab. Jezebel was a princess. She was the daughter of the king of Tyre. She married Ahab. She was in governance. See, God is for righteous governance. But a lot of times in the political spectrum of governance, there's a lot of wickedness that happens. And so that spirit exists and stays around for a long time. We know that because Jesus himself to the church of Thyatira in Revelation, he said that I have aught against you because, you know, you've accepted that woman Jezebel. He wasn't talking about that woman. Her name probably was not Jezebel. He was talking about that spiritual influence. It exists. And that influence had come into America and had been doing for some time. So that, in my opinion, is on the far left, one of the greatest spiritual influences that have taken this nation adrift. And God wants it back.
Well, it's
so we have to pray.
It's amazing to me when you talk about something like the spirit of Jezebel, again, there are Christians listening to this. Their heads are exploding because they think, what in the world? And yet, to me, this is normative Christianity. This is basic stuff. This is not extra credit. This is what we're supposed to walk in this. And I feel like the turmoil that's going on in America and around the world right now, it's an opportunity because people in their desperation are looking for hope. And I hope that they will tune in to voices like yours and others, and that they will learn what it is to walk more closely with God and to try to hear his voice and to know that he's speaking today. Because there are a lot of people, as I say, Christianity is just an ideology, it's a worldview, but it's not that walk in the Spirit.
True. And there is hope because, you know, God has a plan. He has a plan for America. He has a plan for the world. And ultimately, it ends up with the nations becoming the nations of God. There's a lot of stuff in the future. But the primary thing that we need to focus on is that God loves human beings. He loves humanity. He wants them to be saved. He wants to bring them into the kingdom. Everything that he does is with that purpose in mind. And in America, we are experiencing a lot of spiritual shifts, political shifts, a lot of things going on. And ultimately, they're toward that end. He wants to save America. He wants to save the citizenry of America.
I just mentioned, you know, extra credit Christianity. Going along with that, you have educated me about this concept of third heaven authority, that this is normal. God wants us to walk in third heaven authority. He doesn't want to say, oh, Lord, if it's your will, whatever. He wants us to know his will and to speak his will with the power and the authority of his name. And a lot of people don't do that. Talk a little bit about that third heaven authority. We just have a few minutes.
Okay. And I might mention that on Charisma Podcast Network, that I have a podcast that deals with, it's called Third Heaven Authority with Mike Thompson. Okay. So people can go there and actually get all the nuts and bolts. But it's that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and that God has given us the ability in the spiritual realm to not just view things from the earth up, but to view things from heaven down. It's a spiritual impact and dynamic that we learn to, but it's one of authority. We have the authority of God. We are the enforcers of all of the things that Jesus' shed blood has purchased for us. As the body of Christ. And so that takes authority. Power is the ability to act, but authority is the right, the delegated right to act. And it's been given to the church. And so any of us who have received Jesus, our Lord and Savior, have that third heaven authority. And we just need to learn how to do it.
And so what's the name of the podcast again for folks who want to check it out?
It's Third Heaven Authority with Mike Thompson on Charisma Podcast Network, but any podcaster, you can find it.
Third Heaven Authority with Mike Thompson, and it's not difficult to spell Mike Thompson. We've just got a couple of minutes left. The idea that people are sometimes, you've seen this, there's false humility in the church. People think, oh, I'm a worm, I have no right. They're afraid to walk. I mean, there are many people that are afraid even to think like, oh, I know I'm going to heaven. They think that's presumptuous. And then there are other people that say, well, I would never say I know the Lord's will or something like that. What do you say to folks like that?
Well, two things. Number one is that they need to get into the Word and find out what the Word says about them, that they are the righteousness of God in Christ, that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, God has a purpose and a plan for them. But number two is that they're not looking at it from heaven's perspective. And when you're trying to live the Christian life according to earthly dynamics, it just doesn't mesh. You're trying to project upon God what you feel about yourself, how other people view you, maybe even putting the face of people like parents or spouses and other people who have harmed and wounded you, putting that face on God, rather than allowing God to put your face and his face into your life. You have to get into the Word. You have to pray and find out who Jesus has created you to be.
And not every one of us is going to be a pastor prophet living in Las Vegas, for example, just in case anybody's worried that they have to do what you do full time or something, that God has everything. He wants us to do everything, but he wants us to do it with him. Mike Thompson, just a joy, a real joy and a gift from the Lord that I get to have this time with you. Thank you so much. I hope we'll talk to you again in the future. God bless you, and CK to be continued. Well, now she's such a
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Folks, welcome to the program. I have on now a full-time medical doctor. No kidding. Her name is Dr. Nicole Saphir. She's also an author of, unfortunately, it's an important book. It's called Panic Attack, Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID-19. Dr. Saphir, welcome to this program.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, listen, we need to know the facts. And I keep saying on this program, we don't really, in the mainstream media, typically hear much of what you say in this book. There are people like me who have seen science being politicized, and it's deeply troubling because that's just a no-no. It's kind of like cheating at math. You just should never, ever do it. But it's become particularly ugly during the COVID season of the last 18 months. So what are the headlines on how science has been politicized in your new book, Panic Attack?
Well, so listen, during the course of this pandemic, I've continued to work full time as a physician. I'm a mother to three children who have had to go to remote learning. And then I am also a medical contributor for Fox News. So I've handled it on many different sides. And I can tell you one of the biggest constants that has occurred over the last nearly year and a half now is that science and data are completely getting twisted around to fit certain narratives. And that breeds fear, hence why the name of the book is called Panic Attack. And so we've seen this before. It wasn't a coincidence that you had a presidential election year, because what do they always do? For almost a century, we hear, vote for me and I will save you. Vote for me. And so that's exactly what happened. And some of the most basic fundamental things during the course of this crisis has been completely twisted and has created conspiracy, which it really was not. I mean, specifically in my book, I mean, I look at, you know, the most controversial of the topics, face masks, hydroxychloroquine, the origin of the virus, the Chinese Communist Party cover up. You know, if it was mentioned this last year, I dive into it.
Well, just the other day, I live here in Manhattan. I was walking down the street and they sometimes block off a street so that the kids can have, it's kind of like their playground, right, on the Upper East Side. And I saw a bunch of 6 and 7 year olds, a lot outside playing, wearing masks. And my blood boiled. I thought to myself, this is child abuse. This is sick that little kids at recess are having to wear masks. It just struck me as absurd. And then, of course, it has nothing to do with what the science has taught, but it's become this kind of kabuki theater of virtue signaling. We're all wearing masks because something. What do you say to schools that are forcing little children to wear these gaggy masks?
Well, I mean, I can tell you that there's more science and data out there right now that shows us that the emergency for young children is over when it comes to COVID-19. When you've looked at, we've now got record-breaking lows for deaths and new cases. We know that the virus does not affect children the same way as it does adults. We also know that the number of hospitalizations have been inflated for children. So there's a perceived level of risk for these kids, but that perceived level of risk is not reality. The reality is the risk of COVID-19 for our younger children is exceedingly low, especially as more adults continue to go get vaccinated. We also have the data that show you're not transmitting the virus outdoors. So by continuing to suggest that children need to wear masks, especially on a hot out being outside, at some point people are going to have to be held accountable for these actions because they are nothing but anti-science.
Well, I mean, not only are they anti-science, but it strikes me that they're genuinely harmful. In other words, they're not neutral. It's not just kabuki theater. I mean, it actually has an effect on the children. You know, people in my generation always mocked in the 50s where kids would hide under desks because they were preparing for the nuclear attack, you know, which never came as far as I can tell. And yet today we're doing something that strikes me as even more onerous, to get little children to be wearing masks in school. I mean, it has to have a number of ill effects, not just on physical health, but on mental health, to breathe your own carbon dioxide all day long. I mean, is there anything there, or am I just imagining that?
No, of course not. And we've created this space of fear. And again, parents are afraid. They're afraid if their child gets this illness that they're going to bring it home, it may kill off people in the family, or it may cause something severe to happen to that children. And that is an unfortunate miscommunication from our leading experts on the real risk when it comes to younger children for this virus, especially when the adults in the family have been vaccinated. And I can tell you the CDC is really one of the only global entities that recommend children over the age of two universally are to wear face masks because there are known consequences to it. Not to mention that children really need that facial recognition as they're growing, as they're learning. But yes, these young kids, they're not wearing their masks appropriately. My six-year-old comes home and his mask is completely wet and he's now biting holes in them. So he's clearly messing with them all day. And I can tell you the CDC just last week came out with their own data from the fall that showed the two biggest things to decrease transmission of the virus in elementary schools, it's not masking children. What it was improving ventilation and putting masks on the teachers and the employees. But that was before the vaccines. Now that healthcare workers, now that any adult that wants to be vaccinated can be, then therefore they also don't need to be wearing masks. And as that data showed, that children wearing masks do not decrease viral transmission on a statistically significant level. So the CDC is not actually following their own data. They're cherry picking what they want to put forth on their guidelines. And again, I think this is a fear-based.
But I mean, why would anyone care at this point what the CDC thinks or says? Why would anyone care what the World Health Organization thinks or says? It's just fascinating to me. What these organizations have done, as far as I'm concerned, has fundamentally undermined people's trust in science and medicine, which is itself a monstrous thing. I just had Nicholas Wade on. He was the chief science writer for the New York Times for decades. He wrote something that wasn't published in the New York Times, but you know, very carefully and extremely scientifically and at length, talking about how all the facts lead us, if we had to choose, we can't prove it, to think that the virus was created in a lab. And he talks about how the powers that be have politicized this and made it something that people don't want to talk about. And when I read his article and spoke to him, I just thought, this is terrible on many, many levels, not just because it's a lie and because it's misleading, but to politicize science, which is the thesis of your book, Panic Attack. You're undermining something that is just so vital to a society, that we believe in facts, we believe in science. When you politicize science, doesn't it make your average person, including your six-year-old, right, just think that I'm not going to buy into this. I'm going to play the game, but I'm not really going to believe what they are telling me.
Yes, and it's to me, I find it devastating that we've gotten to a point where the CDC, the World Health Organization, will come forth with recommendations, and we all have a scratching our heads. We're like, well, that actually goes against common sense at this point. And then they keep having to roll back what they say. That doesn't make a good look for anybody. But I can tell you, when writing my book, there are three chapters dedicated to essentially what you just talked about. We talk about the origin of the virus, which includes a lot of occurrences that happened in that lab around end of October and November, why I said even last summer that it is a plausible theory that there was an accidental lab escape. I was immediately criticized by mainstream media. I had CNN, Esquire commenting on me, how I'm wrong, I'm promoting conspiracy theories, and the real experts are saying absolutely not. So it's frustrating. So I talk about that. I talk about the Chinese cover-up, and then I talk about the relationship between the World Health Organization and the dominant superpower of what we know as China. And that, unfortunately, that relationship did muddy a lot of the water, and I believe that that really cut us off at the knees when it came to our pandemic response. I dive into all of that in the book.
You've written a book? Is it called Panic Attack?
It sure is.
All right. Well, then I'm glad you mentioned it, because honestly, well, there's never enough time to get into this stuff, but I'm glad you wrote the book. And I hate to say it, or I'm sorry to have to say it, but it's a brave thing simply to write what is true in this day and age. And when people call something a conspiracy theory today, that strikes me as a kind of validation. In other words, they're so afraid of diving into what you've actually said that they simply have to label it, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're an insurrectionist, because they're afraid actually of diving into what you're saying, because there's nothing that you're saying, obviously, that isn't based in facts.
Well, and hasn't that what's happened the entire last year? I mean, going forth from there, you know, we talk about hydroxychloroquine, talk about face masks, lockdowns, all of the things that if you at any point had a contrarian opinion or you questioned what was coming from Dr. Fauci or some of the other old guard establishments, you were immediately censored by big tech and social media as promoting conspiracy theories. When in reality, when it comes to scientific discovery, especially in times of crisis, it is that very discord which gives us some of our greatest innovations, because we are challenging certain hypotheses.
You probably realize, being a scientist, that the Aristotelians in universities refused to look through Galileo's telescopes. Because it wasn't the church, really. It was the Aristotelians. Their paradigm was blown, and they knew that if they looked at the actual facts, they'd kind of be on the hook. So they just basically labeled him whatever the label was of the day, and refuse to look through the telescopes. That's kind of what we're dealing with today. Folks, we'll be right back with the author of Panic Attack, Dr. Nicole Saphir.
Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog, and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their healthcare, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true healthcare, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Dr. Nicholas. I was going to just say Saphir because it looks like it's spelled that way. But you say the people into whose family you've married, they're the ones that have had the name for generations. They pronounce it Sapphire.
Well, and you just called me my oldest son's name, Nicholas. I'm Nicole.
Oh, you're Nicole. All right. I'm glad to know. So you're Nicole Saphir, S-A-P-H-I-E-R. The book is Panic Attack. I have to laugh sometimes because it's just so dark to think that we're living at a time when medicine and science has been politicized.
it seems that if you don't really believe in truth with a capital T, you feel free to politicize things and to bend things and twist things. It's ironic to me that it's mainly people on the left in bed with big tech, big pharma. They seem today to be willing to do this for some higher purpose in their own minds. What do you think it is that would cause them to play fast and loose with what ought to be, as I say, like math, basic science, what we know, what we don't know, what we might know? Why do you think they would do something? It seems like a big deal.
You know, it's really interesting that what happened. So especially let's go back to the beginning. Let's talk about the viral origin theories, since that is what's hitting the news these days. It's one thing to have your opinion. Yes, the most common thing that happens in just about all of epidemics and pandemics, except for a few times, is that there was a natural spillover when it comes to a virus. It was in an intermediate host and blah, 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 and it goes to humans. So, of course, that's the most probable theory of what happened here. But there were some very real coincidences that people should not have ignored. And the problem is, it's okay to have your opinion. What's not okay, and what has seemed to happen all the time throughout this pandemic, is anyone who refutes that or just questions it are quickly canceled. It is this time of cancel culture. And we need to get away from that, where we need to be able to acknowledge that there are several hypotheses. There are several possibilities. We can't just always go for whatever mainstream media wants it to be. Because I can tell you, especially in the course of this pandemic, a lot of those contrarian beliefs are actually proving to be true.
Listen, I think that a large part of the politicization of what we're talking about comes from this, the hatred that people had for Donald Trump, some people. And anything he said was immediately labeled as false, absurd, laughable. When he talked about hydroxychloroquine, immediately it seems to me that the establishment, as it is, said, we cannot bother with hydroxychloroquine, and actually some places outlawed it, said you can't put it out. Why would they do that? Was that because they were in bed with wanting to promote the vaccine?
Well, so first of all, when I started writing about hydroxychloroquine for the book, it was supposed to just be a little subchapter, but it turned into its own chapter in itself because so much occurred when it came to this medication. And not because this medication in itself is that interesting. In fact, it's really not. We've been using it for decades. But the controversy and the scandal that went on around it is really appalling. And so it's important to bring that truth to light. The only reason, to be honest, that hydroxychloroquine became controversial is because President Trump mentioned it in a White House press briefing, and that knee-jerk anti-Trumpism were quickly trying to disprove him because he had some optimism, when at the same time, Dr. Fauci, who they appointed to be the white knight of public health, was talking about remdesivir. So all of a sudden, remdesivir must be the science, and hydroxychloroquine is being peddled by charlatans. The truth is, hydroxychloroquine is a medication being used for decades with known antiviral properties. It was being tested all across the world. We had a new virus with no known treatments. Of course, we're going to throw the sink at it. We have an old cheap medicine that we know actually has some antiviral properties. Of course, they're going to try and use it. Whether it turns out to be a silver bullet or not, we didn't know at the time, but the fact that people were using it, of course. But what happened? They stepped in and they started to restrict prescribing rights from physicians. They were slapping them with warnings that they were going to fine them or take away their medical license if they started prescribing it. All the while, you had physicians all across the world using it, just trying to save lives. We didn't know if it was going to be, again, that magic medicine that's going to save people. But didn't we want to try?
Well, it strikes me, to get hyper serious, people died as a result of the politicization of many of these issues, but specifically now talking about hydroxychloroquine, that there are people whose lives might have been saved, but because people hated Donald Trump, they died. Am I making a leap?
First of all, I can tell you undoubtedly that the pandemic was worsened because of the politicization of science when it came to hydroxychloroquine, as well as other things. Listen, the data on hydroxychloroquine, it shows that it certainly is not this magic bullet that we really still want when it comes to treatment. Has it been? Can it possibly help in mild cases, outpatient cases? You know, there's some studies that show that it can. There's also some studies that show that it can't. The jury's still out. But the bottom line is, what happened during that time was sickening to the point that they started using fraudulent data to try and disprove that it works. And that actually led to some of the most world-renowned journals to have to retract some of their research because fraudulent data was being used. I mean, it is quite the scandal that occurred. And yes, people saw it play out on TV, but they didn't really see a lot that was going on behind the scenes. And the fact that hydroxychloroquine is still actually being used in parts of the world tells us that maybe it wasn't the snake oil that they wanted people to think it was.
Well, I just wonder if anybody's going to be on the hook for this. It seems to me like the kind of scandal you read about, nothing that's happened in our own time, except unfortunately, this is our own time. It is huge. It involves tons of money and human lives. Folks, I'm talking to Nicole Sapphire. The book is Panic Attack. We'll be right back. I'm talking to the author of Panic Attack, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Dr. Sapphire, I just have to say that it's astounding to me that I hear so little of what you're saying and what you've written about in your book, Panic Attack. There are fringy people talking about it, but in the mainstream, very little. You just said that, I guess you used the word snake oil. In other words, that when somebody like Trump brought up hydroxychloroquine, immediately people rather viciously attacked him and attacked the idea of it as though he's a Neanderthal, he's anti-science, when in fact that's not true. My friend Mike Lindell, who if people are watching this on video, you can see him glowering behind me in two glorious dimensions, exhorting you to use the code ERIC to save big at MyPillow.com. But Mike Lindell had an antiviral medicine, I can't remember, I think it's based on oleander extract. And he was working with Dr. Ben Carson on this, on trying to get it out. When he appeared to talk about it on CNN, Anderson Cooper attacked him so viciously, I was just astonished. In other words, it had nothing to do with the facts, but it was simply to demonize him as a right-wing Trumpist when actually, he believed, and I think it is quite right, he had something that was very powerful against viruses, and they weren't even permitted to have a conversation.
So I actually remember that occurring. And I can tell you that I am very careful, especially when it comes to discussing extracts, because while we use extracts all the time, and they're incredibly beneficial for a host of reasons, we also don't want people going out and picking things off of the side of the road, thinking that they are going to be the same thing. It's very different when you look at these extracts, they need to be purified. And I think it's all about messaging. And that's one of the biggest things that come from this pandemic. Unfortunately, because President Trump was having those White House press briefings, the media immediately attacked him and wanted to discredit everything he said. This also encouraged platforms for Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio and everyone else to do their little press briefings. But really, those probably aren't the people we should be hearing from. And especially when you're talking about a potential treatment such as an extract, I think it's important for maybe Ben Carson should have been the face of that campaign, who is a medical doctor. And so it's about the messaging, because people are not even going to hear your message unless the person delivering it is someone who they believe can be trusted in this. And while he may be a great person and a great friend, and he may be 100% right all the time, who knows? It's about, the credentials behind him saying what it is. And I think that was, again, that was a messaging problem.
Well, but to me, that's part of the irony, is that I think half of the country would much rather trust Mike Lindell than Dr. Fauci. I mean, that's at least ironic, if not horrifying. But I think it's because people like Fauci and the CDC and the WHO, they have so undermined our ability to trust authority. I mean, it's like the 60s, question authority. There's something healthy about questioning authority, and there's something unhealthy when it gets to a point where anything coming out of the mouth of a Fauci or from the CDC half of the country immediately discounts it because they don't feel that they have been dealt with straightforwardly. They do feel it's been politicized, so they have to look for alternative facts, so to speak.
Undoubtedly, I can say my biggest frustration with Dr. Fauci is that he makes an excellent bystander, which is why he's been in his role for a very long time. But with true leadership, what we really need is someone who's willing to push back against that old guard establishment, someone who's willing to push back against the CDC, the FDA, the WHO. And he has yet to do that for us. And yeah, I saw him say, give an interview last week, and people said, why are you still wearing a mask outside? He's like, well, I wanted to wait until the CDC updated their guidelines because I didn't want to give mixed messaging. And all I can say to that is, why not? Dr. Fauci, people listen to you. You may not be able to change policy, but the public listens to you. The president listens to you. Why aren't you going to be that person who is going to fight for what really is supposed to be scientific? If you know something is wrong or you know something to be untrue, now is the time to push back. And if he is not capable of doing that, it is time to replace him with someone who will.
Yeah, like about a year ago, I think. But honestly, Nicole, I think that, I mean, this kind of reminds me of what happened with the twin authorities of church and state after the First World War. By allying themselves as being pro-war, really for a century, they kind of devastated your average Europeans. It took a while to get over to us, but it devastated people's trust in authority. I think we're talking about a paradigm shift, unfortunately, like that, where many, many people have become skeptical in a way that they never had been before. We've never dealt with anything this dramatic where lives are at stake. What have we not talked about in your book, Panic Attack? Again, the subtitle, Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID-19. What have we missed? We've just got a couple of minutes, but I know there are other things.
I think the bottom line is that there is a healthy dose of skepticism. You should not always just toe the line. But there's a very fine line between, you know, following blindly to whatever popular opinion is saying and then going the far other end, wearing your tin hats. You know, you have to make sure that you are, you know, you're following what's based on truth and science. And I can tell you what I dove into this book was anything and everything that has caused controversy, confusion. I feel that if you give people the facts, let them educate themselves with truth, then they can actually use that to formulate their opinions. So when it comes to, you know, where the virus possibly came from, the fact that there was a cover-up that was going on, should China be held accountable? The World Health Organization, we really go into hydroxychloroquine and some of those other medications. You know, the incredible Operation Warp Speed, how even that itself was politicized. And then I talk about, honestly, the lockdowns, the face masks, and taking everyone out of school. Yes, in the beginning, when people were afraid, maybe that was warranted. But I can tell you all of those prolonged lockdowns are really going to have more severe consequences that will outlast the virus itself.
There seems a little question of that, unfortunately, which is why I think my original statement is true, that people's views of authority, particularly the mainstream media and whatever establishment there is with regard to science, it has been fatally undermined. So I think it's amazing. I have to ask you before you go, how did you know that I wore a tin hat? Because we've not met before.
Oh, come on now. I think we all wear a tin hat every now and then. But I can say, I just want people to know, people do things when they're fearful. And the only way to be less fearful is to equip yourself with the facts.
Right on. Thank you, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Congratulations on the book, Panic Attack. You. Glad to speak with you.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Hamptons. I'm Eric Metaxas. I'm actually at Vicky's Farm Stand in Amagansett, New York. Vicky's Farm Stand. And I just got some eggs.
Wow.
And they're locally grown.
Hey.
Locally grown. They're not locally laid. They're locally grown. I don't know where they lay them.
But the eggs are grown locally. They're grown hydroponically. No chickens involved. It's extraordinary.
Hydroponically, that's seashells then. They're made out of seashells, not eggshells.
That's correct. And I am by the seashore. So Bob's your uncle. Now, listen, we got to mention a couple of things. We're doing this campaign with CSI to free slaves in Sudan. Folks, you know what? This is so serious. I feel like I can't even be doing this from a car. This is so serious. We have an opportunity to do something that is unadulterated goodness. We have an opportunity. You go to our website, Eric Metaxas. Sorry, Metaxas Talk, our radio website, MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner for CSI. $250 frees a slave. We're not speaking metaphorically. This is not, you know, bondage from sin. This is genuine human bondage. Slavery in Muslim-controlled Sudan. So I'm here to tell you, if you think that's horrible, good, because it is. But you can do something about it. Any money you give at that website, CSI, which is, you go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on that banner. I just cannot get over the fact that we have this opportunity. Suzanne and I decided we're going to give to that. We usually give to these campaigns, but when you think about it, it's just mind bending what is happening. So the $250 actually goes so far in Africa that it sets these people up in a life of freedom. It gives them a number of things that it's just a community of people, a goat, no kidding. A goat is an expensive, it's a big deal. You know, it's like buying a mule or a cow or whatever. Like, a goat provides milk and cheese and all kinds of stuff. So I want to say that this is an opportunity to practice what we preach. We talk about wanting to help people, wanting to do God's will. I would say this is God's will. If you're looking for a way to give, please go to Metaxas Talk, MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the banner for CSI. Alvin, do we have a phone number?
Yes, yes, yes. It's 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. That's the phone number. Free a slave today, please, folks.
8-855. Say it again, sorry.
888-253-3522.
888-253-3522. Or go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on the banner. And don't forget to go to ericmetaxas.com and sign up for my newsletter, please, because the YouTube ban, I mean, this is serious, folks. We're not speaking hyperbolically. This is a serious financial hit. When you speak truth in America these days, they attack you. We need your help, whatever you can do, but we're not just using this as an opportunity. This happened. We did not see this coming, folks. You can imagine. We would have done anything, and we were doing whatever we could to play patty cake with the Stalinist monsters at YouTube. And they,
by the way, too, I want to just jump in about Nutramedics. You got to go to Nutramedics.com. They've got great, great vitamins and supplements. Use the code Eric for 20% off. Also, this weekend, what is it? Father's Day weekend, right? Go to salemnow.com and see The Streets Were My Father. We had Lee Habib on yesterday. We're going to have him on again Friday. Yeah. And he's talking about this great film about fatherhood.
Actually, it's amazing. I hope everybody goes to salemnow.com, The Streets Were My Father. Watch it with your family. Watch it with neighbors. It's one of those things. And Nutramedics, I got to tell you, I've been taking all these Nutramedics products because my hair has begun to thin, and they don't solve the thinning hair problem. But everything else, they're good. But Alvin, we're going to talk about that more maybe later in the week. Folks, God bless you. Thanks for listening.